Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Is the most Frog Squatch.
Well, welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. I'm so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside. Welcome back for another edition of Prog Watch. And this is your host, Big Tony the Prog Squatch, and I've got another great show lined up with a lot of great music and some interview material and some music from Yak a little later in the show. Martin Morgan of Yak was kind enough to answer my questions, so I'm not going to waste a lot of time. I got to get things rolling because I may need that big Prog Watch shoehorn to jam everything in again this week. So I'd like to start things off with a fellow by the name of Tom Slatter. Tom's a composer, singer, and songwriter based in London. He's been in a number of bands over the years and has more than a passing interest in the whole steampunk thing. He composed and performed all the music on his album aside from some of the bass work. And the name of his latest album, it's Fit the Fourth. And the song from the album that I'd like to play for you is called Some of the Creatures Have Broken the Locks on the Door to Lab 558. That's possibly the longest song title that we've ever featured on Prog Watch.
To lab 558, and somehow their venom ate through the wires. Alarms didn't sound till it was too late. From the 3rd to 15th floor, they're infected with the spores of the creatures that broke through the locks on the door to lab 558. Shapes in the sky. When finally something devastating happens, it comes from below, not on high. I've heard the official stories, but that's not what I believe. No, I believe the man with the burned ragged clothing who stumbled from the fire to tell the tale. Didn't know when they caught them, and he didn't know when, but he knew their grey skin and too many eyes. Their venom burned
calculated, it was realized. Their buzzing, their clicks was how they spoke, how they made their plans. Some of the creatures have broken the locks on the door to Lab 558. Somehow their venom aches through the wires along. Creatures that broke through the locks on the door to Lab 558. 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 And that's why the sky's falling down. And that's why we'll never see sunlight. Why our lungs will fill with the ash of the innocent dead. It's not the future you wanted, but it's the future you got. And our skin will crack with the dry heat of nuclear war. Thank you.
So once again, that was Tom Slatter from his album Fit the Fourth, released just this year. And the name of the song was Some of the Creatures Have Broken the Locks on the Door to Lab 558.
Oh, sorry. Yes, it's Martin here from Yak, and you're listening to Progwatch.
Next up, I'd like to do a little feature that I've been doing for the last month or two here. The Prog Radar Weekly Recommendation and Bite-Size Review from my friend Martin Hutchinson over at Prog Radar. He runs a Facebook page, Prog Radar, and a website, progradar.org. Prog Radar, P-R-O-G-R-A-D-A-R. So this week, Martin has recommended a song from the brilliant new Comedy of Errors album called Spirit. The name of the song, Spirit, the single edit. Once again, that was Spirit, the single edit from the album Spirit, which is pretty much one long continuous piece. It is really a brilliant piece of work that takes you through just so many different emotions and movements. But I'll let Martin say his piece here. Now, this is Martin speaking. To me, the beauty of music is the way it can tell a story. Heartwarming or heartbreaking, it doesn't matter. The best albums take you on a musical and spiritual journey, one that will hopefully leave you in a better place than when you started. Do you believe music has soul? I do. And when it is as deeply involving and emotionally uplifting, and draining to be honest, as Spirit, it becomes life-affirming in many ways. All of the songs were written by Jim Johnston, but I'm sure even he would agree that they were given life by the whole Comedy of Errors. A contender for Album of the Year, and one that should be gracing everybody's music collection. Just brilliant. And I agree 100%. I was just listening to this album in its entirety again last night, and it is a really great piece of work. In my opinion, the most complete, fully realized, and technically awesome Comedy of Errors album released to date. So if you even have a passing interest in this band, you're going to want to go out and get this album. It's called Spirit, and it was just released maybe about a month ago.
Hi, this is Joe Kearney of Comedy of Errors and Grand Tour, and you're listening to Progzilla Radio.
Next up, I'd like to do something by Steve Morse and Jordan Rudess. Steve, of course, has been in like every band from Kansas to Deep Purple, Flying Colors, the Dixie Dregs. He's had his own Steve Morse band. And Jordan, of course, is the keyboard player for Dream Theater. Well, a few years back, they collaborated on a track on Jordan's album, which was called Feeding the Wheel. And this track was also included on Steve's own compilation album, Prime Cuts, in 2005. The name of the song, Quantum Soup.
Thank you.
Once again, that epic was called Quantum Soup, and it was actually released on Jordan Rudess's album Feeding the Wheel, and also on Steve Morse's Prime Cuts album from 2005. You may have surmised that I like Steve Morse and just about everything he touches. On this track, he was joined by Jordan Rudess, obviously, John Petrucci of Dream Theater, and Terry Bozzio on drums and percussion, and Mark Wood playing electric seven-string Viper violin. Once again, the name of the cut was Quantum Soup by Steve Morse and Jordan Rudess. Next up, I've got something from a symphonic prog band from Canada that I just recently discovered. The name of the band is Druckfarben, and from their second Sound album in 2014, I'd like to play a song called Dandelion.
Thank you.
So once again, the name of that song was Dandelion by Druckfarben from their second Sound album released in 2014. As I said, these guys are a symphonic prog band from Canada, and I think they remind you of maybe Yes, Rush, Spock's Beard, maybe even the Dixie Dregs at times. A rundown of who's in the band? Phil Nyro, who is now working with Unified Past, and I have a feature with them coming up very soon in the next week or two. We've got Ed Bernard on guitars, Will Hare keyboards, Peter Murray bass, and Troy Feener on drums. Once again, that was Druckfarben.
And now for something completely different.
And yes, that does mean that it is time for the feature on the show where I play a song by a band you may not have ever heard of. Trying to get some exposure for new bands that are up and coming and have some really good material that I'd like to expose you to. Maybe you'll go check it out, lend a little support to these guys, help them get off the ground. So anyway, this week I have a song from a band called Postmortem. Now, they are from Argentina, and they feature Andre Antonelli on bass and vocals, Israel Gehrman, drums, Marcos Antonelli, guitar and background vocals, and Yvonne Roland on keys. Anyway, the name of the song that I've selected is Plan, and it's from their album Indecios, released, I believe, 2014. Once again, the name of the band, Postmortem.
Yeah.
Once again, that little gem was called Plan from the album Indecios by Postmortem, released in 2014. I really like the sound that these guys have, and despite the fact that the singing is not in English, I don't usually let that bias me. I've been able to get an appreciation for some of the great Italian prog bands, and this is no different. The fact that it's being sung in another language doesn't take away from the beauty of the music and the melodies, you know, to my ear. So anyway, once again, the name of the band was Postmortem, the album Indecios, and the song Plan. That's going to bring me up to a little feature I'm going to do here on the band Yak. Yak was originally a four-piece instrumental prog band consisting of Robin Hodder, guitar, Cy Snell on bass, John Wynn on drums, and Martin Morgan on keyboards. This incarnation of the band played together between 1982 and 1984, before their day jobs took them in different directions and they had to disband. But Martin Morgan didn't let the idea of the band die. In 2003, he set about to re-record some of the earlier Yak tracks and released them as the Dark Side of the Duck album, which was released in February 2004. The response was good enough that the band got back together for a time, but now Max Johnson was on bass, and they recorded a few more albums. Once again, the band kind of stalled, leaving Martin to begin recording Journey of the Yak himself. Eventually, he finished the album with contributions of Dave Spate on drums and Gary Bennett on bass. The same basic lineup recorded The Quest for the Stones, which was released earlier this year. Now, as I said earlier, Martin was kind enough to answer some of our questions here, so I'd like to play some of that interview for you now.
We interrupt this program to annoy you and make things generally irritating.
So where do your ideas come from and how are they developed? From jamming sessions, doodling, or from your head and heart and then trying to get your emotion onto the instrument?
This is a tricky question. It's one of the great mysteries about music. Where do the ideas come from? I think you've touched on all of the options, really. Jamming, doodling, or in the head. For me, it's a combination of those things. Probably most of my music is created through improvisation. I tend to just go into the studio and switch a keyboard on and then just improvise. Sometimes you can improvise for, you know, hours and you won't get anything. Other times you just go straight in and the very first thing you play will become the main riff to one of the tracks. For example, March of the Horns off the Journey of the Yak album. That was literally one of those occasions where I just switched on the keyboard, went to an organ program, and that initial organ riff was the first thing I played. And, you know, sometimes you know something, when you just played something, you think, actually, yeah, I can work with that, and that will become something. And it was one of those lucky things, and obviously I worked on that piece, and, you know, it just became that track, and it led me onto the next part of that track and the next part of that track. It's just music. It's just one of those magical things. Sometimes I will get a tune in my head when I'm driving, or just, you know, minding my own business. That's why I try and carry a dictaphone with me so that I can hum the tune into it, otherwise I'll forget it. And then when I get back home, I can play it and then work out whether it's an idea that I want to progress or one I can file away for later. I think it's always important to get a keyboard version of whatever it was you hummed saved away in a sequencer, because when you listen back to it, perhaps in a year or two's time, it might suddenly turn into something else. But if you don't capture it, then potentially you've lost that idea forever. Basically that's how I work with the pieces, through improvisation mainly. Sometimes as I'm drifting off to sleep, I sometimes get ideas in my head, which I then have to scrabble for the dictaphone and try and hum them. And if they're a whole piece, like with the bass line, chords and tune, that can be a bit of a nightmare when you're falling asleep trying to get that down, because when you listen back to it when you're wide awake in the morning, you think, what was that? But sometimes that does work, and I have used that idea effectively. Sometimes I'll imagine, as I'm drifting off to sleep, I imagine I'm listening to a band live that I've never seen before, and try and imagine what they're playing, and that sometimes leads on to ideas that I can capture and record and turn into a track. But it's one of those different things. I look at, you know, composers like Ennio Morricone, and they sit down at a desk and actually score out a piece of music. I have no idea how anybody can do that. It's incredible. But for me, it's mostly improvisation and getting tunes in my head as I go about my day-to-day chores.
And what kind of equipment do you use? How and why did you choose your instruments? What, if any, modifications have you made to your instruments to get your sound?
Equipment-wise, yes, I'm lucky enough to have quite a lot of keyboards that I have accumulated over the past 30-odd years. I started out with a monophonic ARP Axe when I was still at school in 1978. I was desperate to have a synthesizer, and I saved up for years, as I remember, eventually accumulating the grand sum of £379. My dad took me to the London Synthesizer Centre off King's Cross, sadly no longer there, and we bought this ARP, and I've still got her today. She still works. I was in a band at the time, but clearly I needed more than one note, so we then got hold of a Poly 6 a few years later, called Poly 6. More recently, and when I started to produce albums, I invested in a Kurzweil workstation. I always loved the idea of having a Kurzweil, having seen Patrick Moraz play one with Bill Bruford at a gig in London. I was just completely blown away by this Kurzweil, and its piano sound was just amazing. I phoned Royal Argents the next day when they used to sell keyboards and said, these Kurzweils, how much are they? And they said all about £10,000. I said, thank you very much. And that was as far as it got. But clearly that was one of the early Kurzweils. The prices obviously have come down over the years. I think in about 1999, I managed to get hold of a K2600, which is my baby, if you like. And that's the main workstation I use to create the Yak music. I have actually got a more up-to-date one, a PC3K, which again has got some phenomenal sounds on it. But I actually still prefer the K2600 for recording purposes because it has much more available on the back of it for outputting to inputs of mixers than the PC3K does. There's probably a way around that I don't know, but I just tend to work very simplistically. It's got lots of outputs on the back of the K2600, and out of its studio I can have four stereo pairs coming out for the different tracks, whereas I've only got stereo out on the PC3K. I've got a Memory Moog, which I purchased from Future Music, from New, back in about 84, something like that. I've used her on the Quest for the Stones album. And I've got an ARP Quadra, which is one of my favourite vintage synthesizers. Again, you can hear the Quadra phased strings, fantastic sound on the Journey on the Quest for the Stones album. I only had her in the last few years, so I didn't use her for Journey of the Yak because I didn't have her.
So, what is the recording process like for you? Is it tedious and structured, or do you allow yourself flexibility to continually create as you record?
Recording, It's, I wouldn't say it was tedious. It's probably structured, but the way I work is, as I previously said, through a lot of improvisation. So I tend to use the sequencer a lot on the Kurzweil to build the basics up for any track. So if I get a riff that I quite like, then I put a bass line to it, and then I mess about looking and for inspiration for tunes and things that will work over that. And then once I've built up something that's, you know, a basic track, I'll then start again and do it all properly, you know, making sure everything's in time. I tend to use the Kurzweil in song mode mostly. Anybody familiar with sequences will know that in these song modes you've got a limited amount of memory to create your song, so typically when you're working on something that's got lots going on and is quite lengthy in terms of time, you end up having lots and lots of songs which are strung together to make one longer song. So typically a track like Quest for the Stones was, I think, about 15 songs as far as the Kurzweil was concerned, all strung together. And that can take quite a lot of time, because where you string the songs together you can get timing glitches in sequences, so you have to work around the edges of those songs quite carefully. That can be tedious. If there was only, you know, one that had more memory in it that didn't restrict you to, I don't know, 60,000 events or whatever these things restrict you to, I'd find that a lot easier. I haven't gone down the software recording line. I don't do anything with Cubase or any of the other programs as yet. I just work using a basic sequencer in real time, probably because I just haven't got into that side of the music yet. I'm just I tend to veer away from computers. I know keyboards are computers, but I just veer away from them because whenever I've got a computer, it just, I just get so frustrated. They hang. You load up a piece of software and it says it's not compatible with this or that doesn't work, and it's just like they drive me insane. So I just don't think they like me. So I've veered away from that. I've gone down the kind of traditional method with I use an Akai Pro 24 recording studio, which is a wonderful piece of kit, no longer available. You can still get them second hand, but they don't make them anymore. It's a DPS 24 Mark II. And I think it's brilliant. I use that for all the recording, and I just basically rebuild up tracks one at a time, as you would do in a traditional recording studio. I suspect I will try and move over to software at some point, but not at this particular point. So recording, yeah, I do enjoy that. I enjoy the creativity when it's finished, or when you're working on something and you get that feeling that this is going where you want it to go, and it sounds like you wanted it to sound in your head. That's a great buzz. But you know, if something needs to change halfway through, then that's fine. I ended up, when I did the Quest for the Stones album, I ended up with about 30 pieces or 30 riffs and ideas. Some of them were quite short, some of them were quite long, and I actually drew them all out on a big piece of paper to work out how they would potentially fix together. And those kind of 30 ideas eventually settled down into two tracks. So it's kind of a question of working on it until you think actually this piece belongs in that track or this piece belongs in that track, until you end up with, you know, the pieces you want, the finished pieces. So it's quite an enjoyable process, but it is quite time consuming, particularly because my time is quite limited. These things take me a long time.
Okay, actually I had about three more questions for Martin, but time constraints have led me to want to basically break the interview into two pieces and continue my coverage on Yak on another show a couple weeks down the road. One thing I do want to make sure to mention on both shows, however, is that the proceeds for all Yak CD sales benefit a animal shelter that is run by Martin's girlfriend, in which he assists her with. And it's a really worthy cause that I wanted to make sure I mentioned on this show. He talks about this in some of the other answers that I'm going to play down the road, but I didn't want to, you know, neglect to mention it this time out. So anytime you buy a Yak CD, the proceeds actually go to help them continue to operate the Tower Hill Stables Animal Sanctuary. So another one of the reasons why I wanted to break my Yak coverage into two pieces is that their latest album only features two tracks. The shortest of which is about 18 minutes, and the longest of which is 23 minutes and 59 seconds. Anyway, I'm going to play the longer track because I do favor it a little. They're both great, but I do like the first track. It is Quest for the Stones, and I believe it will now be the reigning champ for the longest track ever played on Progwatch. It's from the album of the same name, Quest for the Stones, released earlier this year.
Thank you.
Once again, that epic was Quest for the Stones from the album of the same name released this year by Martin Morgan, Dave Speight, and Gary Bennett, also known as Yak. This track had just about everything that a symphonic prog like myself loves. Dynamics, tempo and feel changes, long and fluid keyboard solos, and long mellotron passages. Did I ever mention that I like mellotron? I think I may have. Those long mellotron passages that harken back to the golden days of the symphonic prog era. Once again, that was Yak. And I'm going to continue some Yak coverage next time around. We're going to hear some more of Martin's answers. Well, it won't be next time, but a couple of weeks down the road. I actually am looking at maybe getting on a feature from Unified Past in the intervening weeks. So look for that.
When one mellotron just isn't enough, call in the professionals. Progzilla, proving that prog isn't just for dinosaurs.
But yes, that sound once again is me climbing into the attic to look for another classic from the golden days of prog. This week, I've pulled out some old Gentle Giant. From their second album, Acquiring the Taste, in 1971, I'm going to play a song called Wreck.
Ships rising up from the sea to the sky cries,
hey, hey, yeah, hold on.
Just one sorry scream and a desperate cry cries,
hey, hey, yeah, hold on.
Their lives pass before them before they die,
hey, hey, yeah, hey, 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 yeah, hey, 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 yeah.
The sea yawns around like a boiling hell cry,
hey, hey, yeah, hold on.
And souls disappear with the toll of that bell. Was made for the deep, to the people in comfort and keep, people the people and places there, never to be seen again, never to be loved, and their last embrace, and the kiss has a soul bitter taste.
Your things that used to be.
once again, that golden oldie was called Wreck from the second Gentle Giant album entitled Acquiring the Taste, released in 1971. This album had a bit of a darker and heavier sound than many of their other albums, but this track grabbed me right away. It was like a seaside shanty meets Renaissance Chamber Orchestra. Just craziness from Gentle Giant, which is something that they were very likely to give you on their albums. They were all multi-instrumentalists, and they just pulled out all the stops. I guess the one site I frequent quite often classifies them as eclectic prog, and I would have to concur with that. They're one of those bands that you either really like or, you know, there's a lot of people that don't like them either. They just can't get it. I happen to get it. I love Gentle Giant, one of my favorite bands from the golden days. Just a quick rundown of who was in the band. We had Gary Green on guitars and vocals. Kerry Minear playing all sorts of keyboard instruments, timpani, maracas, all kinds of stuff. Derek Schulman, one of the three Schulman brothers who were the core of the band, playing alto sax, clavichord, cowbell, and singing. Ray Schulman, alto and tenor sax, clarinet, trumpet, piano, claves, maracas, lead vocals. Ray Schulman, bass, violin, viola, electric violin, Spanish guitar, tambourine, 12-string, organ, bass, pedals, skulls, and vocals. And Martin Smith on drums, tambourine, gongs, and side drum. Anyway, once again, that was Gentle Giant from their album Acquiring the Taste.
Farewell and adieu to you fair Spanish ladies. Farewell and adieu, you ladies of Spain. For we've received orders for to sail back to Boston. And so nevermore shall we see you again.
And yes, that is about all we have time for this week. So once again, I'd like to thank you for coming along for the ride. I do appreciate your support. And if you don't mind, maybe you want to stop by the Facebook page, Prog-Watch on Facebook, and give it a like. Maybe even drop a comment there, whatever. Or you can always email me at progsquatch@gmail.com, P-R-O-G-S-Q-U-A-T-C-H, or follow me on Twitter at progsquatch. Once again, P-R-O-G-S-Q-U-A-T-C-H. So on that note, I'd like to leave you with Prog on, brothers and sisters.